Shankara, Karunakara, Jagadishwara, Parameshwara. 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 Shankara, Karunakara, Jagadishwara, Parameshwara.
Thank you, Premo.
Honor and blessing. Mm. Mm.
That's nice. It sets the mood for the song. Yes. I'm fixing myself. It's cold here. It's really, really cold. And the snow is starting to fall. Om Shri Satche Mahaprabhu Ki Jai, Paramatma Ki Jai, Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai, Satya Sangha Ki Jai. Well, there's a few points I'd like to bring up. And it's not that we haven't brought them up before, but who knows when it falls into the rightful place? Mm-hmm. Well, it always does. It's just a matter of blossoming, coming to realize, experimenting, and seeing what the result is. There's something about detachment, because, you know, recently someone wrote to me who I've known for a lot longer than the Sangha. Far prior to the Sangha, I've known this person. And they wanted me to look at this video. And I started to look at the video. Maybe what they were saying on the video has some validity. Somehow, in all of the kind of mixy, tumultuous kind of agreement, disagreement, energy on the planet, which is from transformation, by the way. Speaking of Shanti Mai for a moment, I do keep my eye on it, so to speak. But I don't want to be immersed in it. And I'm not immersed in it because I don't want to be immersed in it. So I honor that desire not to be kind of contained, screwed into a sort of place where I forget. I pray that that never happens. Hold on, I'm going to offer a prayer that that should never happen. That there is a kind of self emanating. It's like Ashtavakra said, sit in your own radiance, sit in your own splendor. And let the world go on. Because, you know, when I was looking at the video, there's nothing that I can do to make the video right or wrong or good or bad or true or false. But what I don't want is to be consumed by it. So I won't be, because I don't want to be. And because there is detachment, I want to speak about the exquisite quality of detachment. The observing, not the observer, but the observing, taking a step back, taking the great Ashtavakra's suggestion and sitting in my own divine means undividable, not dividable, divine. Radiant splendor of being a creation of the undefinable one within us all, the inexhaustible, undoubtable one within us all, within all things, within every element of life. And I would prefer to keep my focus there. And I don't have to think about that every minute of every day. However, when I'm inundated, and I'm just speaking to you and I'm saying I, but I is the great royal we or all of us. When I'm being inundated by people's opinions or the news broadcast, and I do look because I want to keep my eye on it, just like our sheepdog, always one eye open for what may come. There is a yogic path of detachment, which is absolutely permeated with splendor, with radiance, with love, observing, stepping back, and recalling within one's own heart that there is a greater, so to speak, immeasurable, absolutely, functioning governance, governing all of creation, and that is so easily put aside for our fears and our concerns, our worries, our sides. So detachment has it's not aloof, it's not far away, it's really stepping back. And, well, I don't know about love right now, but the question of being is mysterious and magnificent. I'll leave it at that. Let me breathe. And now let me release and let me sit in my own splendor, my own divine radiance. And if I don't doubt, if I don't doubt the evening news, why should I doubt this? Because whatever God is, whatever the one within us all is, the totality, the truth within us all with a capital T, whatever that is, because you can't hold it. You can only be it, and you are it without question. That which has sparked the body's development in the mother's womb and has been birthed forth for this great radiance to set its consciousness into for a life on earth. For that which will bring me whatever I call me, Shanti, my, you, the body, we know that that's a vehicle and that's a title, and it's not our true self. And that grand, unknowable mystery, which is our very being, is going to carry what I call Shantimai in this body, Premo, Piyu, whoever, however, through an experience of life on earth and the extraordinary beauty of it and the hardships of it as well, and the learning and the unlearning, and will unbutton the coat, this cloak of physical body and title, has much more influence over my heart, my soul, my life, my way, than any newscaster on the television, or any of the videos that just talk about how everything's going to hell in a handbasket, because right now it's snowing outside and it's cold and it's beautiful, and I'm with you. And there are so many marvelous moments that just fill up the day that are so common to us. And this is a time when detachment does give us the opportunity to fear not. Because this world cannot hold me. I never know what will happen. Whatever happened will happen. And yet there is a mystery that lies within me that when I observe and stand back just a little bit, I'm in awe, I'm in wonder. And it's not a big state. It's not like, whoa, I'm in awe, I'm in wonder. It can be just a breath sounding like the ocean. It's a time when detachment in the grand scheme of love-like space found in silence, in a breath, in a moment, in love, absolutely overtakes this world. And the world is secondary. As Jesus said, you hear me say it so many times, be in the world, but not of it. No, that's what it means, is moving through the world in a detached manner. And sometimes detachment is so beautiful because it lets everything be as it is, without response, without reaction, without fear, without worry, without anything except for a deep breath and peace and calm, which will get you through everything. Calm is detachment. Peace is detachment. Love is detachment. It isn't like, oh, talk to me, I'm detached, I'm over here all by myself. Actually, the whole universe, you discover that it is yourself. And it's not personal self. It's everyone's essential nature. Really, it's become hard for me to watch anything that, and I watch trials all the time, but anything that is taking my consciousness into a certain place called worry, fear, trepidation, what if, the great what if. So great detachment just stands back and says, yeah, what if. Just silence it down. Enjoy your day. Enjoy the time that you have on earth and the people who love you. And sometimes it comes into relationships too, where people are like magnets turned and you can't get them together. The mature one. And that doesn't mean that you're better than anyone else. It just means you've been down the road a little further. But the one who wants to see that resolved will always take the initiative to back away. And I don't know, I can't feel this love that everyone's talking about. Shanti Mai talks about it, the saints talk about it, Jesus. I don't feel it. I don't know if I can commit to it if I can't feel it. Just commit to it. The great Wang Po says that when the emotions are stirred, wisdom is absent. That's called detachment. When the emotions are stirred, wisdom is unavailable. So this great calm really gives a person, that's detachment, really gives a person the ability to live a good life, which we must do because we're here to awaken the planet. You have no idea how your little grain of sand on the infinite beaches of infinite Ganges with one move affects the rest. It changes the beaches. It changes the landscape of the beach. Just one grain of sand moving. I will be so happy. Actually, I am anyhow. But I will be so elated when I see that somebody understands that every wonderful, simple, peaceful, generous, kind, loving offering, be it a glass of water, be it a smile in the shopping center. You've heard me say it before. Will affect everything. And maybe it doesn't affect it as you think it should or as you should expect. I heard an interesting story, and then I'll ask you to raise your hand. Just the other day, I was speaking to someone. I had a Skype appointment, and they were a bit distressed. And they had made something very beautiful that wasn't there before. We'll just put it that way. And there was two people involved, and they made something beautiful that wasn't there before, and then now that it's there, it's really very attractive. And one person said to the other person, let's have a prayer over this. And the other person said, this is great because they're a sun dancer and they know all about prayer. They know all about prayer. They know the depths of what it is to pray. So they did. They made this wonderful little prayer. Maybe it was a big prayer. I don't know how long they even stood there. But later on in the day, all of the beautiful things that had been added had been subtracted by someone. And they were distressed. And I can understand that. But I told them in our conversation that the prayer hadn't died. And the prayer didn't depend on whether that beauty was there or not. And that everyone who passed that place would get a brush of their goodwill. A little bit of detachment, just standing back a little further, observing and seeing what's truly there. And when we step back from ourselves as well, and we see that we are not just entitled, but absolutely in being, an extraordinary beat of the heart of God. And I say again and again, I do not know what that means, but I can see that it's everywhere in all things at all times and is all things at all times. The grace that emits through that admitting, acknowledging this uniqueness that you are, the beauty of your heart, the wisdom of your heart, and the ability to see that in yourself and all other beings. Not every moment. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But we're going, our eyes are becoming transparent because we are detached, not attached to the emotional state, not attached to our expectations, not attached to the way we think things should be, not attached to, we're just calm. And we're riding this life like a surfer rides a wave. Any minute he or she can fall into the wave, they'll get back up and swim back out and get on the wave again. In your day, I would seriously suggest, you know, sometimes in my own communication, it doesn't even have to be communication, it could be unication. As the voice of the heart speaking to the heart of the universe, sometimes it feels very dry to me, like, it's not like the sunrise or the stars coming out or the sparkling, excuse me, the sparkling of water. Sometimes it feels like I'm speaking out something to, and I don't know if any, it just feels dry. But I speak anyhow. And it may not become moist and luscious by the end of that communication, that unification, and yet it has brought something to my heart. Maybe just a moment of calm and peace. I want to repeat before I ask you to raise your hands that faith is possibility. To have faith, which you do, means, you know, anything is really possible. And sometimes I just have to change a little bit my perspective. Maybe it is just to come to peace. Maybe it is just to come to calm. Maybe it is just to hear the breath, like the ocean coming into the shore. It doesn't have to be what I expect. But I'm at the root of my being. In that open, spacious, unemotional, unfeeling, sometimes, love, which I am absolutely committed to, whether my prayer is dry for the day or whether it is like the most marvelous, and it can be, the most marvelous feeling in the universe just to say, I love you. Detachment. Sometimes this person is angry when there's a detachment, and sometimes it's not automatic, but when there's detachment, when the detachment is, sometimes you can just turn around and bless your soul. May wisdom be emitting from your heart. May you see and overcome whatever it is that makes you angry. Through stepping back, observing yourself as a divine being, unique in all of the universe, breathing in and for one moment or all day long or the rest of your life, I am sitting, standing, moving in my own divine radiance. And I don't have to believe in it, and I don't have to believe in love, and I don't have to believe in God. It's obvious. Just because everything is being, it is obvious. Doesn't need to be more proving than that. This I love. The proof of the divine being is that you are. That you perceive, that you breathe, that your heart beats, that you experience the dreaming of God in life as yourself, as all others are the self as well. And I'm not going to say the same self, the self nature as well. It's a time. I want to press this very strongly. It's a time to commit to faith, to calm, and love. And it seems to me that love and potential, which faith is, possibility, and calm about this world. Bless this world, bless every soul on this planet, every blade of grass, every being to awaken to the shining heart of God, which is exemplified in our sun, which has the nature for everything to be lit and nurtured. Be it so. I expect that it will be as it will be. I have faith that anything is possible because faith is possibility. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the day we just screw up, we just make a mess of it, we're just irritated, we just cannot take anybody else's you know what or something else or okay, so what? Life. And wanting to be perfect is absolutely ridiculous because the perfection is in place. And you can never, ever come to what that means until you hold everything in your heart as space holds all of the galaxies in its being. And that is my commitment. That is my commitment. If I live it every day, if I don't live it every day, that is my commitment. I am never going to let go of that commitment until it dissolves me. And all the things that I could possibly think about myself or other or the world or even God. And some days it's going to be dry like a withered flower. And some days it's going to be like a bouquet of fragrant roses. But the commitment is the root. Commitment is the root. And if I have to change something about myself, okay. And if I don't, okay. But in that commitment, not but, and, in that commitment, my eyes will see through everybody's nonsense and this world's gluey, crappy situation as it is right now, and I will see only God, and that I return to, and I don't know what it is except for life itself and everything that exists within it. And maybe I don't feel it some days. Maybe some days I feel really like, but the commitment is never going to waver until it consumes me. You remember the great poem of Rumi, once I was immature, then I matured, and then I was consumed. You can raise your hand when you're ready. Okay, so Alessandra.
Namaste, Guruji.
Namaste, namaste.
Namaste.
Pixie, you. Yeah, how are you?
Fine, very fine. I would
good.
Like... Yeah, I just...
What's that?
I just came back from Japan that I love a lot. And what I would like to share is that I bring there the drawing that I send to you. And when I was drawing, that I was drawing you, so I was so in touch with you. I was so full of love. And that sometimes I say, I can't do, it's too difficult for me, and like it's because it was a bit difficult. But I say, no, I can do. And sometimes when the works was going on day by day, and sometimes I was so full of love that I can jump from my chair and say, so I was full of love that it was shining. And so this I want
no, to... It's not, hold on. It's not that you were full of love. You are love itself. And you bring up a very, very good point.
Mm.
I can't do it. Well, of course I can. And you did. And it's beautiful. And it's actually, everybody, it's the back of my head. She drew the back of my head. So it doesn't even have a very strong likeness. But it has an energetic likeness, doesn't it? She drew the back of my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what she did. We were in the Cathedral of San
Michael.
Sacra. Mm. Saint Michael.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in this kind of dim room, at the top of this cathedral, this light came shining over to Shanti Mai and anyone else who would be sitting in it, but it came to Shanti Mai. And I got out a crystal that I have been praying in for years and years and years, just holding it when there's a prayer. And I put it up into the light, and it just so bright and so beautiful. It just filled up. You know, these are some of my spiritual fantasies, is what happens once in a while. That they become very beautiful things in a very simple way. Do you remember the time? I don't know if you were with us or not, the time that we went to say it again, San
Sacra.
Sacra. Sacra, Saint Michael. Yeah, Saint Michael's Cathedral, you remember? And we walked outside. Pemini was there with us. I know that. I don't know if you were there or not.
Yeah, it was.
And the
there.
Thunder, warm like that. And there wasn't a cloud in the sky. And there wasn't. And we never heard another. And I, you know, for me, I don't mind to take things like that personally, because there was nobody else walking out of the cathedral at that time. And to me, it was like nice that you visited. The thunder was telling me that. Nice that you visited. And I thought, yes, nice that we visited.
Yes.
Something like that. So, yes, you can when you say you can. You can't when you say you can't. When you say you can't, sometimes you can't. That's true. But most of the time, when you say you can't, you darn well can. And it's up to you, isn't it? Either you clear the pathway or you close it down. And yeah, I can't do surgery. I promise you, I cannot do surgery. I cannot, I will not, I would not. I faint at the sight of blood. And I can't imagine opening anybody's skin and looking in there. No, but most things I can do. And if I had to do surgery, I could probably do that too. Faith is possibility. Mm-hmm. And it's like a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari. It's just like you get in this faith and it's like, whoa, put it in first gear. Let's go. Sometimes it's like a bumpy old horse with a suede back, too. Okay. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you. I love Namaste. You so much. Namaste. Thank you.
Namaste. Would you like me to show the picture of you holding the crystal that you're speaking about to Sangha now?
Sure, you could show. And Alessandra's drawing, I think I have it. I definitely have it in my files. And it's just exactly like this. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We can include it in the recording file so people can look at it. It's from Malu, who did it.
Sure, I didn't know it was being taken. And I, you know, one of the other things, I'm carefree about putting a crystal up in the light. If somebody sees it, this is my opportunity to do so, right? So, okay. But I'm not thinking that I'm harming anyone or that I should be embarrassed or that I shouldn't or I should. I just do. Anything else from you, Alessandra?
That's it. I love you so much.
Well, I love you that much, too. My hands are reaching across the world.
Yes.
Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you.
Piyu Kampu.
Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Hello. Namaste. How are you?
I'm very fine, full of love for you, for life. And
it's important.
Yes.
It's really important to get that kind of marvelous fuel for life inside of our heart. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please, Pio.
I am considering that the detachment to me is really strictly connected to faith, that life is perfect always. And I would like to share that 2 weeks ago when I was in Brazil in a meeting with many people, that were dancing. It was a meeting of 5 days, and at a certain moment, in one specific moment, a cable that was connected to the music started having problem, and there was so much noise in a very delicate moment. This could have disturbed, really. But immediately, sure. Inside of me, I consider, and I told people, you know, this is wonderful because life is exactly like this. This is a magic moment, and in the magic moment, the cable started making this noise. And so I went on in silence because it was I could do in that moment. I asked someone to buy a new cable. But inside I was also praying, please God, I'm here to serve them. Please help me. And the music started again in this moment. And it seemed really strong how the mystery works in these situations and always, actually, you know. And
it's a beautiful, beautiful story, Pio. It's a beautiful story because you go say, tell me what you were going to say, and then I will address it.
You know, it's just this. To me, the faith that I am doing what I came to do is very, very strong. And it's so beautiful not to be scared when something that you can't preview, that it's just happening. Now something cannot function. No? And this does not interfere in the process, in the choice to be there, to serve people, to find another solution. And also the power of prayer, you know, to this mysterious dialogue with the life, with God. Please help me.
Yes.
And to hear the music coming back.
Yes.
So nice.
Right, particularly right after you said, can we please have the music back?
Yes.
Like a waterfall. Doesn't always work that way, but when it does, it's very special. Like the thunder coming out of St. Michael's, you know, or the light to light the crystal.
Mm.
Yeah. Or the fruit in the autumn, or the seeds in the spring, or whatever it may be, you know. But what I wanted to address with what you're saying is very, for me, what you're telling is very important, because with a sublime attitude, this is a Buddhist dissertation, the sublime attitude. First off, it talks about the bodhisattva. They have all of these rules about what it is to be a bodhisattva. They're very, very marvelous when a person passes through them. But the first rule to be a bodhisattva is to live joyfully. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, Pio, it's like what you're saying, and I oftentimes want to really press this, that when things are not sparkling as you think they should be sparkling, or that you kind of go into a hardship in yourself and react, or have a hard moment with somebody, or, you know, you're in the middle of the teaching of really detached love. It doesn't mean that you have failed. It didn't mean that you failed as a dancer because the music went off. It's exactly as you say, this is a perfect moment. This is a divine moment. This is a sparkling moment, if it's understood well. Yes?
Yes. It's like, yes, this.
Sometimes people hurt themselves when they react in a certain way, or I understand to scrutinize your actions, as Antisa was talking about a while ago. It's true. You look, but you're not your actions. And what moves you through having the belief that you are your actions, again, is that calm, is that accepting of life, is the music going in the middle of a very, very fine moment. It is like that. Life is like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when we can remain reflective.
Yes.
And faithful.
Mm. I love you, Shanti Mai.
I love you too. I'm very happy with your colors today. That purple is the most perfect purple I have ever seen in my life. Oh, it is. And it goes really good with the red beard and the green shawl.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I love you.
I love you, Shanti.
Take good care of you. Take good care of Lucas, given my greetings.
I will. Thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, too. Hello, Michael O'Shea. I knew I was going to hear from you today.
Did you? I didn't know, but I'm glad you did. anyway, namaste.
I was thinking of you, and I was thinking of Margaret, and I was thinking, how can I get over there to see them?
Well, yes, that's a good question. How could we have that, eh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to talk to you about it.
How could we get over there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the interim, maybe I come and visit you and knock on your door one day. Surprise.
Well, I will look forward to that day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, when you were talking about detachment, you've heard me mention it before. My wonderful Aunt May, at 100 years old, died, I guess it's about a month ago now. I went back to Toronto, and we had a celebration for her. I just wanted to mention a woman named Marie. And Marie was a friend of my aunt's, and Marie took care of her. Like, for the last, you know, my aunt was 100 years old when she died. You know, in the last 10 years of her life or so, Marie was with her every day, every single day. And my nephew Larry did the eulogy for her, and he said this wonderful thing. He said, you know, like, with all the turmoil in the world and the divisiveness and anger and corruption, you know, there's all that, and then there's Marie, and there was something about the way he said it. I thought, you know, you know, with all in, and I find myself, you know, I probably consume way too much news, and I get myself wrapped up in all these things. And I thought, like, with all everything that's going on, there's someone very quietly doing God's will, if you will, you know, like being of service to my aunt. And there's something about the anonymity of it and the quietness of it, you know, like, you know, if, I mean, if you met this woman, where you know what I was talking about, it's just a very quiet service going on. And I, you know, and I thought, as you were talking about detachment, and I thought, well, there's an aspect of it, of detachment, I think, that is choosing where you want to look. And there's like very quiet acts of love going on all over the place. And, what do I choose to look at? Do I want to look at the bombs going off, or do I want to look at the people, you know, serving the people that are in that
right
place? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. That was the topic for today. No wonder I needed to see you. The topic today was, you see what you want to see. And sometimes we see what we don't want to see. But with a little bit of an adjustment, we can still see transparently with love. Even when we're really faced with... well, let's say hardship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said too. You can see these lights around the world sitting and standing and eating and sleeping and living, just dedicated to serving the mystery, God. And maybe it is just to remain silent for a moment, mm-hmm. so that you yourself can have a peace. What does it mean? What can I do? Maybe you're already doing. You made mm-hmm. me cry with Murray. I got
it. Yeah. But I remember you saying to someone in one of the sad sayings, you know, they were talking about the turmoil in the world and all that. And you said, well, and you said it today about the bodhisattvas is, you know, what you can do is live your best life.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that always stuck with me. Yeah. That's our job, is to live our best life. Yeah.
That's right. And when the music becomes scratchy or, you know, whatever gets in the way, okay, it's just part of life. And I have faith. I know from my inside out, from... that everything is possible. Anything is possible. I'm just going to rest my heart there.
Yeah, you did a transmission I listened to a few weeks back was about doubt. You know, like, what if there was no word doubt? What if it just wasn't part of our vocabulary? You know,
I think that's what Ashtavakra was going through in that reading that Gayatri from Australia sent us. She sent it to me and I shared it with you. What do I care about duality, non-duality, this or that, or the philosophies or the non-philosophies, or whether... this is right or this is wrong. I have all of this down. I can leave it. I sit in my own splendor and I sit in my own radiance. And do I know what that means? I feel it when I say it and just be calm. And calm is love as well. I don't have to make anything happen. I mean, even the auric photographs, right, show that there is an emanation from you. And all of the icons have Jesus with the or Buddha, or the Bodhisattvas, or the angels, or people, or the... That everyone has this emanation of radiance and have to guess about it. Don't have to make it. It's already going on. You just realize it.
Yeah. Well, that radiance is in all of us, yeah?
You're a great man.
Thank you, Shanti Mai. I love you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love you too. Greatness doesn't know that they're great. That's what's great about it. Mm-hmm. They don't care if they're great or not. They just are. You know, when I opened up the Zoom today, I was looking through the gallery, and I just said to the people that are sitting here, it's unbelievable the nature of the people that I have the honor to know. I'm getting another tear in my eye.
Yes, we're very blessed.
Yes, we are. Give Margaret a hug for me. I'm not a hugger, but you can hug her for me.
Okay. Namaste.
Thank you. Hey, where is this photograph taken behind you?
Oh, that's it's in the waterfront in Dhaka in Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It's
Hasselblad camera. Do you have a Hasselblad?
Well, I don't. No. But yeah, that's one of the most amazing places. Just that waterfront is something else. Yeah. All these boats. It's.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's on my wall because it's one of my favorites. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Nagendra, and we will stop with Nagendra and go forward to our evening. Mm-hmm. How are you, Nagendra?
Namaste, Ma. I'm good. I'm very good.
Namaste.
It's fascinating in a way, you know, how the synchronicities and I want to thank you very much for our previous conversation, the one that we had last week. And, you know, after
what did we say? Last week is so gone that I can't remember.
I will tell you, we said a lot. And if you remember, I had to go to that ceremony afterwards. And you gave me your blessings.
Oh, yeah.
And before I told you that I would go to a ceremony, you had already told me, one of the things that you told me is that I'm a kind of a person that I would like my ceremony to be in a certain way. And what I got from your words was that I'm, you know, not very flexible. I'm like, I want things like, you know, in a certain way.
Yeah, you want them perfect.
Hold on.
You know what? Let me come in here for a minute and remember where you're at. In my early days with Maharaji, I made a stir in the ashram that was incredible. And everybody was out in the ashram and I was yelling and I was with my finger like this. And rightfully so, might I say. And Maharaji was going to the mandir because every day he gave pranam to the murti of his guru. Every day. And if he didn't go, he would go to his own. But he went every day. He would have to be very tired or sleepy or sick or something if he didn't go. Out of 365 days, probably 360 days, he went. And the whole ashram's in a ruckus, and Maharaji's silently in, giving Baba, you know, pranam. And he comes out, and I am stirring the ashram. And the old sadhus, the old swamis, they say, go for it, Shanti Mai, go for it. They were always behind me when I made a ruckus in the ashram. They really liked it because they wouldn't do it. But they really wanted it done. So that's a fact. And I made such a big, oh, man. But I was not the root of it. I was just pointing it out. And my guru came to me and he held me like this. And he looked in my eyes and he had these incredible cosmic eyes. I mean, Maharaji's eyes were so lovely and so dark and like you could see so deeply into them. He was such a simple, profound, loving, marvelous, magnificent soul. And he took my face into his hands and he said, I know you want everything to be perfect. And I said, yes, Maharaji, I do. Yeah, loosen up the edges a little bit, Nagendra, because I would say again, because, you know, I see this in you priestly types, the old pundits, that you have to bring out the edges a little bit. And what it does is gives you this feeling of not being in total control. And it's really good for you.
You know, it's like what I'm going to tell you is everything exactly as you said it. So I went to that ceremony, I found my spot, I sat down, the ceremony started, and I have this idea of how I'm going to sit and to, you know, how to be in a ceremony, you know, and to support and to, my ideas. But the spirit had a totally different idea. And everything came, it was like everything came upside down. Like it was like a Hayoka spirit appeared. And like I was in many, many times, like I was sitting, you know, as we sit in a circle, I was sitting not facing the circle, but facing outside. I was facing the wall. And I had to sit like that because the spirit was telling me like, now you sit like this, or now you lie down and you lie down with your face down. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. You know, I need to be like this or that. And I was resisting and I was struggling and I was having this And you were there, and you were there, and you were like, it was like you were like orchestrating everything, you know, like the whole thing. And in the end, after I resisted a lot, I must say, you know, to go with the nature of you. Towards the end of the ceremony, I hear this voice in my head saying that detach from truths, plural. And I was like, what? And I when I, what I understood as plural, I saw the values of the path. And then again, I heard the same voice telling me detach from truth. And it was like I was holding from a thread of, you know, and I was blown up, you know, and I didn't know exactly what was said to me. And I was feeling good, but I realized at that moment that I was in no control whatsoever. And
yay!
And I was so surprised that because I thought, how did I ever end up feeling that I'm in control of something? And, you know, the ceremony finished, and a couple of hours later, a friend came, and she came to me with a certain attitude, and she said to me, and who do you think you are? And who are you that you know the truth and now you need to be detached from it? And immediately, you know, I was about to say that, you know, we don't speak about like that, about the gifts from we receive from the Spirit. And before I say anything, I heard the same voice that I heard earlier and is saying that this is what I'm talking about. Detach from truth. Don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do not defend it, do not identify with it, you know, just be it and not be it at the same time. And I felt something relaxing in me, you know, like.
Yeah.
And in the coming days, many, many incidents like this have come to show me, you know, like to detach from what I think is right, from what I think is true, from even if it is, but to detach from it. And
yeah, stand back from it. Actually, let me come in here. Because what you're saying is very important. It's not a matter of departing from what's right and wrong. Just stand back and it's seen for what it is. And when you move with life in a beneficial way, you'll never really have to worry about right and wrong. And sometimes we do scrutinize our actions. So all of it comes in, right? I mean, when you're holding to a truth, what is it that you're holding to, really? You are truth with a capital T. Life is truth with a capital T. How can you objectify it? How can it be anything other than everything?
Yes.
And this comes with wisdom. And you'll never want your actions to reflect, and sometimes they do. You'll never want your actions to reflect anything but your heart. And your life is an offering. I just love what Michael said about his aunt, huh? And I think he said the nephew. No, the person was with his aunt every day, Maria. Huh? Or was the aunt named Maria?
Yeah.
The helper was Maria. Yeah. Huh? And then there is Maria, the one who sits quietly moves along life naturally, you are in control also. Both is going on at once. A yogi is extremely controlled. And that control comes from the love of their heart. We will only enact our lives from the root of our heart in a beneficial manner. And sometimes we don't. But when we don't, we can reflect upon it, and then we do. And we don't have to whoop ourselves and say, will we ever get it? Well, you are it. How are you going to get it? You know, sometimes we ride a Ferrari. Sometimes we ride on a old sway back horse on a bumpy road. But the spirit is always in a state of divine love. I mean, the universe appears of its own accord, just is there. What kind of a love is that? And when we don't understand it, we make a mess out of it. The world's a mess right now, but it's going to come to balance. It's like Michael said also, Nagendra, you know, these people, these souls who are lighting the world, nobody's talking about it on the news. We know it. We are it. We're a part of the great circle. I love you.
I love you, Ma. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, that's really easy. Doggone it. It's not a big accomplishment of any kind. It's just the...
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, so Prema's going to sing for us and close our satsang. You don't have to be anything. I tell you, all spirituality is discovering what is already there, what is already true in you. You know, you never become enlightened. You realize what has always been so. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But we do see it more and more clearly as we are bound to the commitment of love for all beings, and to live that love as well as we do for all beings and for the enlightenment of the world. And like I say, maybe it's a smile in the grocery store. You know, maybe it's a wave as you pass somebody you know on the street. One grain of sand moving on infinite beaches of infinite Ganges changes the entire landscape. It just does. Mm-hmm. Namaste. Namaste. Thank you, Premo. I'm going to listen.
Om Ka Guru Ji, Om Ka. 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 Omkar Guruji, Omkar Guruji, Omkar Omkar Guruji, Omkar Omkar Guruji, Omkar Omkar Guruji, Omkar
Primo. I want to say something to Satchamandi. 1 minute. I'm going to just come in here because I'm looking at everybody And everybody's looking very beautiful. Just full of satsang, full of sangha, full of presence of love. I want to say to Satya Mandir, I don't hear from you at all anymore. And I see you in satsang all the time, but I never hear from you how you're doing, how things are going. And I'm wondering why. So soon I'll get an email. So that's why I said that. Namaste, everyone.